So good to see you in the Lord's house today, and you're going to be in for a special treat today. We have Dr. Ricky Dunsford with us of the Rock of Ages Prison Ministries, and I want to tell you, he's ready to go. I can tell already, and we look forward to that. In our call to worship, I just want to take a few moments in the book of Ruth as we've been walking through this particular book in the Old Testament scriptures. As the women gathered around Naomi, in verse 15 of chapter 4, they said to her, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. I thought about this in relationship to what we read back in chapter 1 in our beginnings of this, where she said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." It's a far different Naomi in chapter 4 than it is in chapter 1. I think many of us, in times of our life, we feel like we went out full, we've come back empty. And I think that we have to learn the same lesson as Naomi. Naomi and her husband had left the land of promise to try to find food. Who can fault them for that? I mean, we would all certainly want to do the same thing. If your family's starving and you're in the middle of a famine, you're going to do everything you can to take care of and feed them. But they did so without seeking God's will. And that's where you get into trouble. Naomi now is back in the land, and she brings back with her a young lady who believes in the Lord and loves her and stays with her. And her testimony is such a beautiful picture here. And she realizes, Naomi comes to realize from the testimony of all these women, that she's on full again. She has God's blessing on her life again. And her life concludes. She rides out of Scripture at this point. Her name is not mentioned ever again. But Naomi leaves us in the book of Ruth on full. Have you ever been on empty? It's frustrating when you get into your car and start it up and it's on empty. And you're praying, "Lord, just help me to get down to the Shell station, or I can get enough gas to be able to get to work." It's frustrating whenever you're hungry and your stomach's on empty. But for the Christian, it's a far different matter to be on empty. That means you're outside of God's best. You're outside of God's best. And you need to turn to the Lord and get back right into fellowship with Him so you can be on full and enjoy His best. I'm so glad that the testimony of Naomi was not that she was still on empty when we finished the book. Amen? But that she was, "This child is going to be a nourisher for you, a restorer in your old age." In other words, you're back on full again, Naomi. And what a blessing it is to be in the center of God's plan for our lives, the center of God's will, because that's the place of fullness, not emptiness. May God help us to understand and know the blessings of Naomi.
Starting our hymn books this morning to number 405. Number 405 as we begin our singing. "Just When I Need Him Most," number 405. Stand together to sing.
Just when I need Him most.
standing for prayer this morning.
Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be together. We thank you that we can center ourselves around the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and have your word open to our hearts. We thank you for bringing to us today Brother Ricky and Sister Judy. We thank you, dear Father, for their ministries and how you've used them over these many years, reaching out to prisoners, but also being used of thee to help open doors all around the world to reach prisoners with the gospel. We thank you, Father, for how you've undertaken for them in so many different ways. And we pray that you'd continue to watch over, put a hedge about them, dear Father. Keep them from the devil. We pray, Father, that the devil would not stop them in the ministry that you've called them to. We pray, Father, for this service today. We pray that you might open our hearts to receive your word. I pray that there may be some young people that are here today that would be led of thee to go into full-time Christian service, that would be willing to be used of thee in a very difficult time in our nation's history, difficult time in our world history. We're fast approaching the time in which the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ will be raised and we'll be caught up together to be with thee. But Lord, the world is still dying and going to hell. I pray that you'd raise up some young people that would be willing to go and to be used of thee to carry forth the gospel. I pray, Father, that you might undertake today for our many missionaries that are serving thee all around the globe. I pray that your hand of protection would be upon them and pray that you'd encourage them, many of them with children, that you would help them as they seek to rear them for your honor and for your glory. And we pray, Father, that you would meet their needs and provide. We pray, Father, for our country today. Lord, I pray that you would send an awakening across this land. Oh, how we've turned from thee, how we've stepped away from the authority of your word. There are children that are growing up in our country that don't even know the name of Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that you would undertake and work, that you would help us, that we would be a witness and testimony for thee. Now, Father, bless this church service today. Pray that you'd give us open hearts and open ears to receive your word, for ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 515. 515. All glory to Jesus, number 515. Thank you. Turn now to number 416. 416. We'll sing just on the first verse of "All That Will Be Glory for Me," number 416, as we focus on our future in heaven, number 416, verse number 1.
Amen. That was a blessing. Thank you, Nicole. Well, our speaker today does not need introduction, but I am so glad that Brother Ricky and his wife Judy are with us today. Judy's a little bit under the weather, and she said that she's battling a cold in her throat. I accused her of yelling at Brother Ricky, but I just lost her voice with that. Brother Ricky never does anything that would get his wife upset, right, Brother Ricky? But what a blessing Sunday school was to hear the work that's taking place at the Rock of Ages. So, Brother Ricky, would you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart today? Thank you.
This morning, so very much. What a beautiful piano playing this morning. If you walked in our house, just inside there is an old piano. Judy and I, neither one, play an instrument. But our daughter Tabitha learned, and played. And if you've never had a child learn to play, you fully don't love this type of finished work today. That was beautiful. If the Lord lets us make it to May of this year, Judy and I will be 43 years since she's a little blonde-haired, green-eyed girl rounded a corner at Century High School. And I did what every young man should do when he goes to introduce himself for the first time to a young lady. I walked up to her. I'd been watching her, you know, for a few months. Finally, I got up the nerve and I walked over and I said, you're Judy Mathis. Yes. Well, I'm Ricky Dunsford. Okay. Well, I'm going to marry you one day. And the sweetness of her heart, she said, and you're an idiot. So, I don't say much for her. 43 years, she married an idiot. So, isn't it wonderful? I love getting older together. Now, fellas, you know, dwelling with them according to knowledge. I'm still learning. So she asked me a few months ago, you know how they do you? They set you up. How do I look in this dress? Like always, darling, you're beautiful. Well, do I look fat? Start coughing. Tell her you got diarrhea, got to run to the bathroom, you're in bad shape. Well, I was going to be politically correct. Well, am I fat? No. A little round. So the next week, she comes walking in the house with a big smile on her face, got a little skirt on, got a t-shirt on of that Michelin tire man. It says, I am round. Good to have a wife that forgives you, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful just growing old together? The Lord's been so good, and I thank the Lord for Judy over all these years. Been a very, very faithful wife, good mother, homeschool our children, and I praise the Lord for her part of serving the Lord. I get a lot of credit in this ministry, undeserving. I've been privileged to work with some of the greatest servants of the Lord I know, and oftentimes I get credit, but it's those men that are plowing the fields, doing the work, who'll come sit in my office and ask me to pray with them, and together we're able to serve the Lord. And 11 and a half years ago, I became the vice president of Rock of Ages. And as the vice president, I still do what I do. I just added more. And it's been a great privilege serving the missionaries of Rock of Ages. And so I'd ask you to pray that I keep a spirit of wanting to be a servant to others. That's what I want to be. And I wish you'd pray for that. God's been good. He has. And I believe I've gotten to a place in my ministry, I believe this, I'd rather have your prayers than anything. Prayers to get things answered. And I thank the Lord so much for folks that pray for us. I really do, more than you'll ever imagine. Well, let's start off in Genesis 6. Let's read a couple verses. Then I want to give you a thought this morning. The Lord will allow me. I was up at 4:30 this morning, and this one wouldn't leave me. I've been studying all week, and of course I've been preaching and a campaign in prison all week, and I had a message I thought the Lord would have. But this morning, I can't get away from this simple thought, very simple thought, and I want to bring that to you this morning, if the Lord will allow me to do so. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. As you know, God had created all things. He created man. The old serpent came in and caused man to fall to sin. God passed judgment both on man, the earth, and the serpent. And then God began in chapter, towards the latter part of chapter 4, we see that the Lord gave Adam and Eve Seth, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord again. He mentions the generations of Adam in chapter 5, and then we come to chapter 6. So we see some time transpiring in the first five books of Genesis, for sense of the foundation of it. And we come up to chapter 6. You know, of course, Cain had gone out, and the results of Cain and cities are being built, and wickedness has now covered the earth. And I'm just bringing you up to speed to where we are. So much that the last verse of chapter 5, the Bible introduces us to Noah and the fact that he was 500 years old. Every time I start saying, Lord, I'm getting too old to do this. I'm bumping that 2 million miles flying, that 1.5 million miles driving. And preacher asked me the other day, he said, Brother Dunstan, would you come and preach 7 nights? I said, no. I said, I'll start Sunday morning, and I'll give you Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night through Wednesday. And I said, I would try to go the rest of the week. I said, but more than likely, you ain't going to like the guy that's there them next 2 nights. So I'll go that. And every time I get a little discouraged and start thinking, you know, I'm getting a little older and I'm not feeling as good, I go to verse 32, and Noah was 500 years old. Now, how'd you like to be 500 years old before you ever get called of God? So that kind of encouraged me a little bit. And verse number 1 of chapter 6, the Bible said, it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that means a bunch of folks are starting to get around, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And let's drop down because of time. Verse 4 said there were giants, but in verse 5, let's start there. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creepy things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Now I think there's something, and I know man put the verses in here, but this is one of those times I don't think God wrote down what, for you and me, what's taking place between verse 7 and 8. Here's the reason why. At the preceding verse said, God saw the wickedness of man. And that's the word mankind. That means everybody on the planet had wicked imaginations and were evil continually. Now, if I'm reading this like this and just reading along, Brother Todd, every man, wouldn't that include Noah and his boys? If it's everybody? For it said, and God saw the wickedness of man, mankind, the whole earth, and it said that it repented him to even made man, and it said that God said, I'm going to destroy mankind. Wouldn't you assume that Noah was a part of mankind? Now, undoubtedly, there's more to say about Noah than God told us. Undoubtedly, there's some things there that God just wants you and I to understand. Long before this, for God said, Adam, ye shall surely die. But long before Adam ever sinned, from the foundation of of all the cosmos, the world and everything, God had already prepared a lamb. Thank be to God for that. And even in the midst of man's most vile wickedness, verse 8 said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So undoubtedly, God's telling us in His Bible, I've had enough of man. I've had enough of their wickedness. I've had enough of their evil. Matter of fact, I'm so sick of man, I'm kind of sick I even made them. But, hallelujah. But, if God didn't go on to say before He said those verses, that I already have a man in place. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You better be thankful today that long before you ever committed your first sin, Long before you ever thought your first evil thought, God had already saw a little grace through Jesus towards you. He had came. And can I tell you that I believe our Lord has always been standing by the Father. And I believe God, the judge, is sitting there now. And all those round about the throne still saying, Lord, how much longer? How much longer? I believe God's setting on go to judge. But He's constantly looking through His Son. And He's ready to extend a little bit more grace. Boy, I'm thankful for that today. Lest God chastise me so much I die. Thank God for the grace and for He, the Lord Jesus, that bringeth salvation unto all men. Now notice this, and that's not even my message, but I was having fun. Now notice this in verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Verse 14, now here's what I want you to do, Noah. I want you to make an ark of gopher wood, rooms that shall be made in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without, and pitch. Now here's what I want you to see, that Noah went on to do that, and God finally brought judgment by the flood. Noah and his three boys and his wives and two of each kind and the extras for offerings went into the ark. And God closed up the door and they went into the ark. And then notice if you would, and this is what I really want to bring a message more so pointed towards how others see God's grace and mine in your lives. But I'll give the title in just a moment. But notice if you would, in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 7, now the ark is built. All are in there. Verse 6 said, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were upon the earth. Now look in verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. If you would, notice verse 13 of chapter 7. And in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife. If Noah's 500 years, God called him to a mission. Noah, I got a job for you to do. How many of you agree with me that if Noah was 500 years old, he was probably well established somewhere? He might have just been a farmer. He might have been a businessman or whatever. But at 500 years, I'd say he's probably pretty well established. He's got three grown boys. And so, and he's capable of building an ark. He's capable of herding animals. So he must be I know God did much of it and gave him the plans, but Noah must have been a pretty talented tradesman in order to do these things. And God called him from whatever he did or wherever he was at 500 years of age to take on a task that would preserve man in the very midst of God's greatest judgment. God would find grace in Noah, and God would call him. Now, at 500 years of age, what if you're sitting here today, you're 80, 85 years old, and God calls you to the mission field? The biggest challenge might be convincing yourself, or the biggest challenge might be convincing your church. But I want to tell you something. I guarantee you, you got a challenge convincing her you're going to the mission field. And can I say, I could just imagine, must have been something about Noah. And I begin to think, Brother Todd, you know me, but only some of me. You folks here know me by ways of meeting me and hearing about me and my newsletters and supporting me. You know a little bit about me. A lot of people know me. My children know me. My grandchildren know me. But nobody on this planet Outside, the Lord knows me like that girl knows me. If you really want to know, as Ricky Dunstan, what he seems to be, spend a little time with her. If you want to really know, do I really love the Lord in spite of me? Just spend a little time with her. If you want to really know that I studied the Bible and I love this Bible, spend a little time with her. If anybody knows me, she knows me. And I begin to think about Noah and about you and I serving the Lord. Wonder what others think about us. And I wrote down when I saw in my Bible, and Noah's wife. And Noah's wife. And I just wrote down, what made Noah's wife believe in him? What made Noah's wife believe in him? If I am to be the testimony that I need to be for God, if I am to be the man I should be for God, before you and before others, my greatest task is being that man before Judy. And if we're going to be that testimony we ought to be for God, if we ought to be a little bit more like Noah's wife. You ever notice this about Noah's wife? She never said a word. Not one word recorded in the Bible. Not one word. I wonder if she lived today riding down the road with a GPS. If she'd been so quiet. According to the Bible. Now real quickly after prayer, let me give you this. Why I believe Noah's wife believed so much in him. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Oh, that others could look at our lives the way Miss Noah looked at her husband. And Lord, I think sometimes those that are just silently watching and praying for us mean far more than those that stand up and talk about how great a work might have been accomplished. I thank you for the quiet ones, Lord, who don't say much, but they believe enough to send a few dollars, a Christmas card, a little note of prayer. I thank you for them, Lord. And I pray today you'll bless this simple thought in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can I give you a couple of things this morning? First of all, I notice this. She did not question him. You notice in the Bible, there's nowhere in there she questioned him. I just jotted down, she did not question his commission. She saw something in him in the commission God had given him. I wonder if our wives and our husband and our children see in you and I that God has called us to the commission of just being faithful, just loving him. She did not question his commission. She saw in his life he was following the Holy Spirit's leading. I just want my children to understand one thing. I just want Judy to understand one thing. If she ever got a bad husband, she got one. I mean, far from ever being perfect. No amens right there. See, you preach when she has laryngitis, so I'm just going to say all those things and she can't say amen. And she don't know sign language, so I'm in good shape. I guarantee you she can tell you in a minute all my faults. But she can also tell you, I won't ever forget this. I remember one time I told her, I said, Judy, God's calling me to do this and for us to go here. I said, pray with me about it. And we prayed a little bit. And again, this is the way she said it to me. She said, Ricky, she said, I'll follow you anywhere God tells you to go. She said, I'll go anywhere he tells you to go. I said, if the Holy Spirit of God and you got a Bible verse to back it up is leading us to go, I'll go anywhere you want to go. But she's still Judy. She said, but if he ain't leading you, don't you drag me off somewhere I don't need to be. But I'm thankful I got a wife that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm not bragging on Judy today. I'm thankful that there's others that have said to me, Brother Ricky, thank you for just following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I want to. I really do. Do others see us? See, Noah's wife did not question his commission. One of the worst things for a leader is when someone questions your leadership. Mom and dad's at home, do the children believe you're following God? You're following his leadership. She didn't question his commission. She didn't question his calling. She knew that God spoke to him. She knew that God was speaking to him. God had provided their every need according to his riches and glory. And it was obvious that God was leading him, that God was calling him. Can I tell you, I always go a little bit off of tradition. But I tell folks all the time, they say, you called to the Rock of Ages? I said, no, sir. That usually gets a quiet response. I'm a little different. I believe I'm called to Jesus and sent to the Rock of Ages from Him. I believe when God calls you, He's calling Him to yourself. I believe His greatest desire is for you to wake up with Him this morning. I believe when you lay down at night, He wants to spend a little time with you. Time out just a minute. I'm about to have a hallelujah, glory, hallelujah fit up here now. Here's something wonderful about Him today. I believe He's saying, please come unto me. Come unto me. Called Him unto myself. He called me unto Him. And then when I get that touch with Him, then when I spend that time with Him, He sends me out to do the task He has at hand. She didn't question His calling because it was obvious by His labor that God had called Him to this task. She did not question the commandment. He had to build. God had told him. She knew that Noah knew the voice of God. Because Noah knew the voice of God. You know, one of the greatest things that I ever failed, Judy, is because my daddy was a 21-year Army sergeant. And I got a little bit of that, get out of my face. I'm going to do what Ricky wants to do. I'm in charge. I got a little bit of that. And sometimes I just tell Judy, this is what we're going to do. And she's a sweet lady and she's kind of quiet most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. And I find a little hesitation, but I've never one time found hesitation, Brother Wood, when I say what I was reading this morning. I call her Jew. You don't call her that. I call her Jew. I always have. I said, Jew, thank God wants us to do this. Thank God wants me and you and to do this. And can I tell you, she never questioned it. If she knew that I felt and I had a Bible verse that God commanding us to do something. You know, I wonder sometimes when we stand up and we try to lead others or we try to tell others or we try to live this Christian life, if folks see we live under the command of God. I don't like to miss a church service. I don't. I don't like to miss a church service based on this. Because I've been commanded, and I want to follow that command, and I'm not the perfect person, and there's a whole lot wrong with Ricky Dunsford. One thing about it, I want folks to say, you can count, you can bet one thing, if you're going to rob him, do it on a Wednesday night or Sunday night or Sunday morning. Because he's not going to be there. The best time to go in there and get what I don't have. Matter of fact, I'll set you up. There's some things we need to be carried off, and I'll just tell you what steals. She never questioned his commitment. You see, this building program was going to cost them. You never see Miss Noah saying, why don't you just retire, Noah? You're almost 600 years old. Hey, why don't you stop working on that ark. My roof's been leaking. Noah, I've been having to carry the firewood in here and you're gone all the time working on that ark. She never questioned his commitment to the program God had called him to. Oh, she never questioned. Let me give you this. I'm done. Why she did not question him. I wrote down, she didn't question his commission, his calling, his commandment, or his commitment. I believe, number one, this. I believe she saw Noah's faith. Here's where it applies to all of us, not this husband and wife relationship, but here was a lady sitting back watching a man. And I wonder if our community's watching us and individuals we work with are watching us. She saw Noah's faith. It was a believing faith. I'm emotional in that I get angry at times. And I get confused at times when things overwhelm me. But I do know this, even when sin overtakes me, I never doubt. That day the blessed Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God and brought me unto Himself. And I was wonderfully born again. And I'm thankful today. There's one thing that no one can say, and that is that I don't believe that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I know I'm going one day. And I want those around me to know that I believe by faith. And I believe Miss Noah saw, man, what kind of man go out here? We're up on a hill. How's there going to be a great flood? She said, I don't quite understand, but he's got faith enough to believe. I'm going to start packing and get ready to go. He had a believing faith. She saw Noah's believing faith. She saw his building faith. You know what? She saw Noah get up every morning and just go to work. He just got up every morning and went and built. He said, you know, God told me to do it. I'm just going to get up and go build. You know what? She never saw, the Bible never records, Noah complained. He just went out there and built, come home, got his meal, and went back and he built. And he never complained about what God had told him to do. Boy, had a building faith. He just went and did right by God. He just went. I think we say so much more in our lives when we show them we believe Him and we're going to act on it and build on it and show others that we truly believe by faith. She saw Noah's faith was not only a building faith and a believing faith, but it was a bringing faith. It was a faith that caused Noah to say, look, I'm going to believe. I'm going to not only build, but I'm going to bring some things. Look, every day somebody had to get the material. It had to come from somewhere. And all of a sudden, she's watching her husband, who I don't know if he owned the Ponderosa. I don't know if he owned the sawmill. I don't know where he got all this wood from. But if you study your Bible, that wood was not necessarily indigenous to where he was living, and it was a little bit away, and every now and then old Noah get up, and he wouldn't have nothing in the bank account, and he wouldn't know how we're going to make it on Friday. Somebody ought to go amen right here. But God was not unfaithful to see his labor of love, and God provide everything for him. What a God, simply because, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'm just going to go build. Believe God. And then what happens is you don't even realize you're believing and building, and you don't even realize you're giving. What God's supplying, you're just doing what you're supposed to do, and others are going, look at that. Why, that Ricky Dunster was a barefoot, snotty nose. I mean, skip school most of the time, go fishing. Look at him. He wasn't supposed to amount to anything, and I just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God saved me, and just going on. And folks will say to me all the time, Brother Ricky, where do you get that kind of faith? I said, I don't know. Where is it? And can I tell you that there's a bringing faith. He brought in material, and that represented a family's security because the family was going to be saved. Or he brought in animals. And that would show the world and hope that there'd be a restoration and there'd be food for his family. And then he brought in his family, and that would show that the future of mankind would be restored. And that believing faith that he built on, that he carried out there into a world with him, resulted in an ark that preserved the future for mankind, provided his family, a security for his family to be saved. Simply because, and she sat back and watched a husband's faith. Secondly, she saw Noah's father. And I'll go because of time, just give you my little thought here. The father's faithfulness. No doubt Noah had neglected getting food and clothes and income. He left the present day security and went out and built. But there's no indication here that every day they didn't wake up, Miss Noah had something cooked. The boys had clothes on their backs. And it just went on because of the faithfulness of Noah's father. Can I tell you, this is very, very important today. I believe she saw the father's friendship in Noah. In a day, now watch this, in a day of continual evil and apathy towards God, Noah found some grace in the eyes of God. We're living in a wicked world. What a wonderful time for you and I to be living. Why don't we just let this world know He's still God, and He's still a wonderful Father, and He still loves us, and He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you, and all that cometh unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. Why don't we let them know He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? I believe she just saw, you know what, old Noah, him and God's just friends. Friends. See, Noah's, I believe she saw Noah's father in his faithfulness and in his friendship. And I jotted down, no doubt, she saw it in his forgiveness. God said, I'm destroying all mankind. I wonder when the judgment come down if Noah didn't come in and say to his wife, hey, honey, God said he's had enough. Said he's going to destroy everyone. Now here's a mama with three boys. I wonder if for just a moment of time she thought God's going to destroy everyone. Oh, but wait a minute. She remembered how faithful that God had been to him. She remembered how he was a friend of the Father. No doubt she knew that God would forgive them, and no doubt that is implied here. Let me close with this. She saw Noah's finality. She saw his finality. You and I ought to rest good here. Is that we just got it settled. I just got it settled. I don't know a better life than this. If the Lord said, I don't want you preaching anymore, just go home. Okay, I'm just going to go to church. And the preacher said, I don't need a Sunday school teacher. I said, that's all right. I can work on air conditioning. One of them break down, I'll fix it. No, we got a guy to do that. I said, well, I weed eat. No, we got a guy to do that. I said, what do you want me to do, preacher? I just want you to sit on the front row, go amen. I said, I'm your man. I just got my mind made up that it's worth staying in the will of God. I believe she saw that Noah had his mind made up. It was final. That Noah knew the will of God for his life and his family's life. Preacher, I'm persuaded this. I'm persuaded we would be more persuasive to sinners if they were more persuaded we knew the will of God for our lives. What God's will is, and you may not like this, but it's God's will that we not go some places. We not dress some certain ways. We not say certain things in our conversation. That's the will of God. Be ye holy as He is holy is what He wants us to be. And I'm afraid sometimes we blend into the world. And I think Noah's wife said, you know one thing about old Noah, he knows the will of God. If all the world changes, Noah's going to stay faithful. Not only was that, he had his mind made up about the will of God, but Noah knew God's way for his life. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. I have found in my years now serving the Lord, it's a whole lot easier to find the will of God for my life than to understand God's way for my life. And I'm getting to an age now, almost there, to where when God saved me over here, when He saved me, He began to tell me, here's some things that I want for your life, Ricky. Here's what I want. Now, Ricky, set your eyes on heaven. Set your eyes on that coming day. Set your eyes ahead for that day you see me in all my glory. I've saved you for a purpose. Now head that way. And I'm thankful that God called me and that God settled me and Judy down. And we've got a will, and I'm pretty much settled on the will of God for my life. But you know what God forgot to do? Show me how I was going to get from there to here. He just told me, you go my way, and I'll always be there. And can I tell you, there's been some things that shake me up in the way. There's been times I'll confess before you guys, because God knows, so why lie? That I've said, I'm done, God. I'm tired of my family being hurt. I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of fighting the devil. I am so sick of it seems like 24-hour conviction. Because I can't feel like I do anything right. Because that old devil tormenting and going on. I know. I keep forgetting I'm in the midst of perfection. That's why the Lord sends me here, so you can rub off on me. But I'm not. But I know this, if I started out there and I do all I can to stay in the will of God, and you may not like the old Southern song, but if it comes out of my mouth, it's Southern. But the old writer saying, though I fail the Lord, He has never failed me. And forget it's a song, it's my saying. Though I fail the Lord, He has never failed me. And I don't quite always understand the way. But I want others to see that when I'm knocked down, though I do fail the Lord, He picks me back up, and that He's aware of me in the way. And I wonder if Noah's wife saw. Noah was still a man. I guarantee you, if he swung enough hammers and hit enough nails and hit his thumb enough times, you've never been in construction. You hit your thumb enough, you may not cuss, but you'll think about it. And oh, now Noah wasn't perfect. But I'm thankful that here's a lady that followed him all the way to the end. I believe she knew that Noah knew God's way was a perfect way, though it was not an easy way always. It was a perfect way. And then let me stop here. Noah, I believe she knew Noah knew God's work in his life. Maybe we'd be more patient with one another if we remind ourselves that God is still working on us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And you know, every time I think it's 8 times you see workmanship in the Bible, that each time it uses, both in Greek and Hebrew, a word that implies a gifted craftsman. Someone who God gifted them that craft to do workmanship. And if we are His workmanship, He's the master carpenter. He's the master potter. And He's working on us. Unless they can see that the Father is faithful to us because we're faithful to the Father. Unless they can see a unmovable faith in us, they'll fail to realize what He's doing in us. Sometimes folks look at us and go, must be something wrong. All of this stuff going on in their life, something, they're not living right or something. Maybe all this sickness and stuff, but sometimes I think we forget that God takes personal interest in you and me. And I believe Miss Noah just looked and watched. Not only did she see a husband full of faith, a husband with a right relationship with his Heavenly Father, a husband that had his mind made up and was determined, I'm going to finish this. But I believe she also sat back and went after the 100 years had passed in building. Wow. Look what God has done in my husband's life. Look how God, 33 and a half years ago, fresh out of Bible college, so I don't know how in the world, I forget who introduced me, Dr. Hobbs, and he invited me to come speak in a chapel service 33 and a half years ago in this place. And I won't ever forget what he said. He said, he didn't say, boy, hey, I'm full of Bible knowledge. He didn't say, boy, he's doctrinally sound. He said, boy, he's excited. And I moved around and got a little excited back in them days. And you know, over the years, patiently, and then yourself, Brother Todd, would allow me to come by, and no doubt you've known me several years now, and you know that I'm a little bit older, little bit more experienced, little bit more knowledgeable just because of experience as the years gone by. And you can say, man, look what God has done. Today there's a world watching you and me. And I look at it this way. I ask Judy all the time. I said, you have got to be my number one critic, because if you'll be honest with me, I'll stand a greater testimony and a greater light for those who don't know me. I wonder if those around us, those in this world, sinners that we work with, know that if they come to a place of conviction that they can depend on you to pray and to help them. Do they know on your job that there's certain things you won't put up with because you're born again and you're saved and on your way to heaven? Could God, in the midst of an evil, vile, wicked world, look down from heaven at any age and say, I've got a task I need you to do? I wonder today, would you stand with me this morning while I pray? Let's pray together. Your heads are bowed for just a moment. Please don't forget, if you're here today, you do not know Christ as your Savior, that grace awaits you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's men and women in this church can help you today. And all you've got to do is come to one of them. You could even come right now. Someone will help you. Don't leave this place knowing the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God is on your life. God is beckoning today, if you don't know Him as your Savior, to come unto Him and be saved. Christians, the challenge for you and I today is maintaining such a testimony in these evil times that others would see our faith, we'll see our relationship with the Heavenly Father that directs our way and sees a people that's just got their mind made up that though all the world goes one direction, we will stay faithful to Him. Our Father, I thank You, Lord, again for the great blessing, the great opportunity to serve You. Oh, Lord, I just know You told me to preach it today, so I did what I believe You'd have me to do. Lord, would You bless this time this morning to each and every individual here today. Maybe some like me have come to those times and said, Lord, I've had enough. I'm done. Lord, maybe there's someone like that. But You remind them today, Lord, that there's grace sufficient enough at any age, at any burden, at any trial for You to continue to use their lives for Your glory. Now, Lord, would You bless this morning as only You can, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. She'll play this morning, Brother Todd, would you please?
Take your hymn books, please, and turn to number 312. Number 312. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into Thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come. You know, the world says, we offer You freedom. We offer You light. We're going to give You knowledge. But it never is what it says it's supposed to be. It's always failure. It's always sin. It's always bondage. And yet Jesus Christ says, come out of that, and I will give you freedom. And that's what the call of God is upon our lives. And I'm so thankful that Noah had a wife, that he did, that was faithful and true and supported him and encouraged him. And we pray for our young people. I was just thinking about, as Brother Ricky was preaching, about our young people that aren't married yet and how God could use them, bringing them together with the right mate to be used of God. Don't you want God's best? God made no mistake when he paired up Noah with his wife. Isn't that wonderful? But you got to want it. You want to have what God considers to be best. So may God help us. Out of our bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. We'll sing just on the first stanza of 312. Precious Father, I pray that you'd work in hearts today. Lord, Noah's wife was a dear woman who gave herself to Noah's call that you had upon his life. She gave herself to supporting and to encouraging and being there to train her children, to be there to encourage them to follow after the Lord. She may be the silent partner, but she was a lady that loved the Lord. A lady who supported her husband and a lady who trained her children. There is no more glorious place than being in the center of God's will and being a mother who follows the Word of God. I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives. Lord, we pray for our young ladies that are here. We pray for them, Father, that they would seek to do thy will in everything. We pray for our young men, Lord, how they need to be leaders, how they need to step up and follow the Lord. I pray that you'd work in their hearts, and I pray that you would help us as parents and grandparents to set the right tone, as Noah did in his home. And I pray that we might honor thee with our lives, and that it may be said of us that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that your word would continue to work in hearts, that it would not die here, but it might live on in hearts and lives. Those that are wrestling with the issues that have been touched upon today in your word might act upon them. We pray now your blessing upon us, dear Lord. Be with Brother Ricky and Sister Judy. Watch over them, protect them, use them for your honor and glory. And I pray that you would help us to go from this place as witnesses for Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.